Lafont, Lepondre, away from David, 3-1 Reading, 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to the Elm Park Royals podcast, our first of the 2021-2022 season. Every year it feels like I'm getting older. We're going to be talking through our championship table predictions, and to help me with that, I'm joined by Alex Everson. How are you, Alex?
I'm pretty good. Had a little bit of a break after the end of the Euros and raring to go for another 9 months of watching Reading now. So, exciting times.
Yeah, I mean, my football hasn't even stopped. I think I've been watching as much Olympics as I've been watching anything else as well. So, we've also got with us Jordan Cottle. How are you, Jordan?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, nice to be back.
Yeah, have you both had a good summer?
Yeah, it's been nice. Euros was fun. Disappointing in the end, obviously, but a lovely little run. And now I'm raring to go for the season. I've been desperate for any and all pre-season content from any club, it seems. But yeah, looking forward to all kicking off next week.
Yeah, I mean, I've noticed that you've been kind of putting out quite a lot of Omar Richards stuff, Jordan.
Yeah, the shirt's in the post. Yeah. That's been a nice little highlight to see how he's been getting on. And it looks like he's probably going to start the first game, which will be fun. So that's good.
Yeah. And Alex, how has the summer from a Reading perspective been for you? Like, have you been following anything or have you been trying to put it out of your mind as much as possible?
Honestly, I try to just kind of put it out of my mind, especially after the end of last season. I was like, you know what, just take some time off it and come back to it in early August or late July. And so when got a chance to go back to the ground yesterday, and it was nice to be back at the ground despite the result.
Yeah, let's not talk about that friendly. It was just I don't think anyone learned anything from it. I don't think that it was particularly fun for anyone watching. But, well, maybe the Crystal Palace fans had a good time. I mean, I imagine seeing Patrick Vieira is a nice thing. He seems like a quite imposing man.
But, I completely forgot he was there, to be honest.
Okay, well, you know, this was a good bit of the segment. And so, on to the format. We have each chosen our 1-24 individually, and then we've, you know, very mathematically calculated an average for each team, and we'll be running through which team we think will finish where. It's not, you know, rocket science. And as a man who does not like making predictions, this has been particularly hard for me. We'll start. Sorry, Alex, go on.
Yeah, no fence sitting this season. It's not allowed.
I think I will be sitting on many fences, but alas, it doesn't really work for this. We'll start at the top. It might not be fence sitting, but it isn't exactly groundbreaking that Fulham are number one. Both Jordan and I have put them as one. Jordan, why have you got them there?
I think it seems to be the popular pick. I think there's just a lot going for them that they just know how to do this, right? You know, they've been down and come back up successfully, even, you know, two seasons ago, whatever it was, where I wasn't particularly fussed with Parker. They still managed to get over the line. You've got to say that, you know, they kind of just know what they're doing with this stuff. And even though they've lost a few players, they're probably going to lose a few more. They've even changed manager. Some question marks over Silver. He's probably too good for championship, though. You know, they just seem like they'll get it over the line. You know, they've even got guys who, like, you know, Hector didn't get a sniff last season, but he'll probably be one of the best centre-backs in the division this year if he plays. You know, that's kind of the setup of their team. So for me, I just couldn't really look past them.
Yeah, and I mean, Alex has them in second, but who he's got in first is the overall number two, and that's Bournemouth. Yeah, I mean, same question to you, Alex, about Bournemouth. What makes you think that they'll finish in that top spot?
I mean, so with Bournemouth, last season they obviously finished in the playoffs, despite really starting pretty poorly. I can't see them starting that poorly again under Parker, who's, I have to say, he's a very Bournemouth type manager. I don't know why, he just strikes me as that kind of, you know, very Bournemouth, South Coast vibe. He they just fit nicely together, I think. They picked up Marcondes from Brentford on a free, which is a really good signing. And to be honest, I think Solanke's probably going to be top scorer as well. They'll score a bucket load of goals, Bournemouth. And I just think they'll pip Fulham to the title, partly because I don't rate Marco Silva hugely. And partly just because I think Bournemouth will just blow teams away and pick up a lot of free points against teams in the bottom half who are just unable to cope with them going forwards.
So does that mean you do rate Scott Parker?
I think it's more that I rate Bournemouth's squad.
The only thing I'd say about Bournemouth, and it'd probably be a nice segue to something we can probably say before all of these predictions, is that there's still quite a lot of work to be done in the transfer window, in and out. And that, like, they need a keeper, desperately. I'm sure they will get one. And once they do, then I'll feel a lot better about them. But with all of these, like, it's weird. We're about to start the season. It feels like 90% of the transfer business probably still has yet to happen. So, they got a strong squad, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, I think they were meant to get Woodman from Newcastle, but then he got injured. He didn't get injured. Dubravka got injured and Newcastle didn't want him to go on loan anymore. So, as you say, I'm sure something will happen. That's why I currently have them in second too, like the fact that they're... Also, Diego Rico's left and they don't really have the same kind of replacement at left back either. But it's no surprise really that rounding out the top three... is Sheffield United, another relegated side. Jordan, you can talk about them because you actually had them to finish in the top two.
So I had them second. I think it seems weird because most people probably do have them in their top three, but I think they'll surprise a few people by being maybe better than people maybe think. I wouldn't be surprised if they, are first or second out of the relegated teams. I just think they seem probably the most settled. I think they've got the best manager out of any of the three that have come down. I think we are all understandably a little bit scarred from seeing them be so terrible last year. But what they do have is a squad full of, at worst, excellent championship players. And I think there's something to be said for having a team full of really experienced, excellent championship players versus a team full of probably Premier League players, but maybe don't know how to play the division, don't know how to get out of the division. I think there's a handful of guys who are in that squad that we know have been promoted or just excellent this level. We know Ollie Norwood has been up there and got promoted. Handful of that team from a few seasons ago is still there. I think a bit like Solanke last season, when people are talking about a drop down in the championships, probably a good thing for him career wise. I think the same could be said for Brewster. I wouldn't be surprised if he scores a lot of goals this season. Last time he was at this level, he looked too good for this level. So the fact he's back down here now in a Jukanovic team, I think they'll go strong. I think they'll be, come the end of the season, I think they'll be looking very, very good.
My one question over Sheffield United is, can Jukanovic get them to overperform in the way that Wilder did? Like, is that squad in the same, in his image, or is it still in Wilder's image? And we won't know for, a little while. And then in fourth, we've got the final relegated team, West Brom, who do seem like they've got kind of the most question marks over them at the minute. Ishmael's come in. He's brought Mowat with him from Barnsley, who's a very good player. Alex, you had them in this fourth spot. What is it about them that didn't quite, convince you in the same way as those other three?
I think it's just there's more question marks, right? Ishmael coming in we all saw last season that he did a great job with Barnsley, but we've seen, for example, Slavisa get promoted out of division multiple times. Sheffield United, Bournemouth have probably got a stronger squad if all of the expected departures from West Brom go through. I wouldn't expect Pereira to still be there at the end of the window. Sam Johnston is another one I could see potentially leaving. I don't know how many rumours there have been about him going yet, but if their keeper leaves, then it's going to be potentially difficult to replace somebody of that kind of quality before the transfer window shuts. And it might just take some time for the style that Valerian Ismail wants to play to bed in at West Brom, I think. And it might be the case that we see them at the end of September or middle of October, and we see that they're down in mid-table somewhere, and it just takes a little bit of time for them to kind of bed into that new system.
Yeah, and with every managerial appointment, you do wonder how much of it's going to be his influence and how much is going to be the squad's influence. So, like, same sort of thing for Sheffield United. Like, is he going to have to adapt to play with the players that he's got? With the noises coming out of pre-season, it sounds like not really. He's going to try and play almost exactly the same style of football as he played at Barnsley, but whether that will be as successful and whether West Brom fans will allow him to play that is another question, I guess, Alex.
I think it will probably be as successful just purely because of the talent that they've got compared to the rest of the division. If he managed to do that with Barnsley, which, let's be honest, Barnsley's player quality compared to West Brom is not the same, he should be able to manage the style. But as you say, whether West Brom fans are going to be happy to see their team playing kind of direct long ball football against teams lower down in the division is going to be another question.
So on to fifth place, which we actually have a tie-in, one that we all agree on more than the other. So let's start there. And that is Luton Town, who, I mean, I've got a soft spot for them. They're my dad's team. Nathan Jones coming back in clearly helped them at the back end of two seasons ago and then last season. They seem to have made quite a lot of moves in the transfer window. More than I think almost any other team. Jordan, I know you're pretty high on some of those players. You've got them in seventh, which is actually the lowest of any of us.
Well, I still surprised myself because I went in thinking that I was going to be not down on them, but maybe not quite as excited as other people. And they still ended up quite high on my table, which probably tells you a lot about the middle block that's coming up. But I think a lot has been said about how good a window they've supposedly had. I think a lot of the signings are good, fun, exciting, but in my mind at least, not immediate guarantee of success. So I think the business they've done is the type of business that I would love to see as a fan of the team, love to see as the fan of our team, because it's guys who have, you know, higher levels to go, have proven themselves at lower divisions and are ready to step up. But I think to put them much higher than we have, or even to be able to put them as high as we have, I think you're relying on a lot going right. Like, you're talking about guys hitting the ground straight away. Like, I'm a massive fan of Carlos Mendes Gomez, watched quite a bit of Morecambe last year. I got a bit of a soft spot for them. I think he's a brilliant player. I'm very jealous that they've signed him and we haven't. But I think it's a big ask to say he's going to step up at the same time as a handful of the others that they've picked up are all going to hit the ground running at the same time. Nathan Jones, massive tick in their box. Pelly Roddick re-signing, massive tick in their box. But, you know, they constantly are punching to overperform. And, you know, that often doesn't always go. All those guys don't often always do it at the exact same time. And I think they maybe have to in order to get playoffs or higher.
I think one thing about Luton, which does go in their favour slightly, is the fact that they've done all this business very, very early on. They've obviously had a whole pre-season. We're talking about 90% of the transfer activity probably is still to come. Luton I don't know if they've finished, but they've done an awful lot of business, which is going to help their first team out early on. And I can see them getting off to a hot start and being a bit, you know, if they're in the top four or five after 10 games, it wouldn't surprise me at all. And I think it will come as a shock to a lot of people if they see them near the top of the table early on in the season.
Yeah, I think the only, you know, obviously they bounced up two divisions like quite quickly. But what did happen is they had a period of consolidation in League Two where they built the squad to then do that. And likewise in the kind of conference when they were still down there. So as you say, that didn't click straight away. It took a few years for them to make that step. So yeah, we'll see. The other team Jordan, you've got them in third. Middlesbrough. I cannot understand it. Talk me through it.
Yeah. I mean, these guys, again, ended up higher in my list than I was expecting at the start. But I think, look, we know, I don't want to like do my 1-24s just based on narratives, but we all know that like somebody ends up sneaking a bit higher than we would have thought. And when I was going through this, I saw a lot of teams that had good squads, decent squads, maybe not amazing squads, but good ones, but maybe had a bit of balance off. And I'll probably end up talking about that for a couple of teams as we go in terms of say, you know, I like the defense, I like this, but maybe I don't like that. Middlesbrough just came out, in my mind, pretty well-rounded. I think they've got a really nice mix of good, dependable players, some match winners. I really like the business they've done. I think Uche is a great pickup. I like Crooks as well. Warnock, you know, he knows how to get out of the division. There ended up just being way more positives and just ticks in their box than I was expecting when I came into this.
I think the problem that they'll have is much the same problem they had last year. It's like, okay, they've brought in Uche Ekpeazi and they've brought in Sammy Amiobi, but they still don't have massive depth in that striker position because Son Belonga and Fletcher, like whatever you think about them, they're not there anymore. So they are, again, an injury or two away from having Duncan Watmore play up front, which he did very well, to be fair. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see how that works out for you. I think it might be one at the end of the year. Either you will be a genius or people will be questioning. I'm sure people will come back to this episode and really, you know, forensically examine it. So that rounds out our top six. We've got Fulham and Bournemouth to be promoted automatically, with Sheffield United, West Brom, Middlesbrough and Luton making the playoffs. Just outside of that sits Stoke. Alex, you're not actually as high on Stoke as the rest of us. Why not?
I find Michael O'Neill's football very, very boring. I don't think they create a huge amount of chances. They're very kind of tight at both ends. Last season, I mean, they were mid-table, weren't they? And they didn't have Tyrese Campbell for a lot of the season, who's obviously a kind of a key player for them. But even if he comes back this season, he's going to have a very good season, I think, to get them much higher in the table. I think even if he comes back and scores 15, 16 goals for them this season, I just don't see them challenging hugely for the playoffs. Maybe they'll be there or thereabouts at some points in the season, but I just don't see a sustained challenge from them. I think their games are just too tight every week, and eventually they're going to kind of they'll you know see the average come out across the season. They're just not going to be able to pick up enough kind of like comfortable victories as they probably need to get to the playoff spots.
Yeah, I think like the thing with them is they're still feeling the effects of like massively overspending, or not overspending, but their Premier League spending. Like if you look at their outgoings, it's like far more than any other team, and also a lot of their players are kind of approaching the wrong side of 30. Like yeah. Joe Allen's still there, McLean, Fletcher. I don't know what Lee Gregory's still doing there, but he's still there as well.
I mean, I really like the signing of Vrančić coming in from Norwich, but he's 32 and he's going to have to play in central midfield for them probably 30 times this season, I would imagine. He's a great player in the Championship, don't get me wrong, but it just doesn't scream like planning for the future particularly.
No, I think they're still in a mode where they're trying to cut cloth rather than necessarily plan for the future. And you're right, that might come back and hurt them. Next, we've got Millwall. Jordan, you've got them in eighth. They're eighth in our table. What do you like about them?
So I think there's a fair bit to like about them. We know a lot of what we'll get with Millwall in terms of, you know, the defensive resilience almost comes as standard, even if it's maybe a cliche. I think I liked a lot of the signings. I think Ballard's a good player. I quite liked what I saw from him last season at Blackpool. I think Saville's a great pickup. The goals would worry me a little bit. You know, I'm not super convinced by some of their attacking options, but I'm sort of wondering whether there's more to come on that side of things. I just think, you know, we've seen before with Millwall and with, you know, teams in this mold where not a lot has changed and they can, you know, just add a few little key bits and pieces that suddenly they can, you know, get towards really challenging. You know, I wouldn't be that surprised if they spend a lot of this season, you know, pushing for playoffs. Maybe if we've had them and I've got them falling just short, but I think there's something to be said for having that consistency of squad, consistency of manager when a lot of the rest of the league doesn't have that. So I just think that'll hold them in good stead, probably.
Yeah, I mean, even the business they've done, they've brought George Saville back from Middlesbrough, who was a Millwall player for ages, and they've signed Scott Malone permanently, who was on loan there last season. So, as you say, it seems to be a clear kind of progression that they're working towards. So, I've got them to finish pretty. I think I've got them to sneak just inside the playoffs. So, but I think all three of us. Oh no, Alex doesn't. Alex thinks I'll finish mid-table, but you know, whatever, Alex. We'll come back to that later. The next one I think I'll take, which is QPR, because for half of this I had them in fourth, and I've turned them down to 11th now. I'll go through my reasoning for fourth, which is like I like their signings. Like they've basically done what Millwall have done, which is brought back the players that were there on loan last season. Jordy Device, I don't know if I pronounced that right, Stefan Johansson and Charlie Austin. And they brought in Sam McCallum on loan, who would have been a great left back to have for Reading, but oh well. The only problem with them is, like, yes, they had the fourth highest XG in the league last year. They also had the third highest XG against. And in the run, like, post-January, Lyndon Dykes had the form of his life for the last 10 games. I don't know what it was about scoring against Reading, because he hadn't scored for 20 games before that. But after that, he scored, like, 7 in 10 and assisted 4 more. So I think I think they could go either way. So I've plumped for them to be in 11th, which is either way.
I mean, I've got them in 7th, which is a slight improvement on last year when they finished 9th. But in terms of points, I mean, they picked up 68 points last year. I just don't see them getting much worse, really. That's kind of why I've got them so high. And I mean, part of that is due to kind of just how congested this middle pack is from 7th down to probably 15th or 16th. It's very, very tight. And I think, you know, we could predict a team to finish in 7th, 8th place, and they can finish 14th or 15th very, very easily. And it wouldn't take a lot for that to happen. And I would, my only worry about QPR, despite putting them 7th, is, like you said, a lot of things kind of fell their way last year in terms of form. And if things don't fall their way, they could quite easily end up finishing very, very mid-table this season and not challenging for the playoffs, as I've predicted.
Yeah, I mean, I think
this one might bite me, but I don't get the hype. I don't get the hype with them at all. And people probably, that one might come up and back and bite me in the summer next year, but I just don't get the midfield. Like, I think a little bit like what we were talking about with Luton, like, I think you're just asking for stuff to go right that hasn't yet. Like, Sam Field, like, how much football has he played in ages? I know he was pretty highly rated. They really liked him at West Brom, but it just didn't happen. Dizel, like, I feel like it's been a lot of promise and some flashes, but again, you're asking him to do things that he hasn't really done yet. Wasn't that long ago that Steffi Hansen was looking. I didn't see much of him last season. I know the QPR fans liked him, but it wasn't that long ago that he was looking way too slow for a Fulham team trying to challenge. So I don't see it personally. I don't see the goals either. Like, I know Austin will get you goals, but like, I don't know. That one's confused me. And also Warburton defences, I don't see them being able to put it all together for a playoff.
They are notoriously leaky, the Warburton defences.
Mm. Yeah, well, we saw that at the back end of last year as well. And I think the kind of ups and downs, like, they had really good wins against the top kind of six and then lost to Rotherham and Derby. And so, yeah, a tough one to predict. And I do like the sentence, I don't see where goals are coming, but Charlie Austin will get you goals.
It can get you some goals.
Yeah.
Not well, lots.
Lyndon Dykes is going to contribute the other ones. He was my sleeper pick for who would be have a good Euros, and that didn't turn out well. So maybe we'll move on quickly from there. Alex, next up is Cardiff. Mick McCarthy is going to piss the league, isn't he?
I'm not sure about piss the league, but he's got to be a positive, hasn't he, for Cardiff? I think he's got to be in the top 6 to 8 managers in this league, just purely on experience alone, I think. I don't think they're necessarily a very good side, though. It's kind of the problem. Kiefer Moore is obviously a goal scorer and will probably do quite well again this season, as long as he stays. But they have lost Harry Wilson, so that's going to affect Kiefer Moore's kind of productivity, I think, going forwards. And then the only other real note I've got about Cardiff is, if Gareth Bale comes in, then can I change my position from them finishing eighth to something a little bit higher? That's the only caveat I've got with Cardiff.
There's no way that transfer happens. I just, like, he was too good for Tottenham. He's not going to drop down to Cardiff, surely.
But I don't know. We never know. Isn't it golf? I can't remember the order. Wales, Golf, Madrid. I'm fairly certain that Cardiff comes before all of them. So,
well, I mean, I guess he's made enough money. He doesn't necessarily have to be playing for that reason anymore. But next up is Nottingham Forest, who also have kind of a traditionally well thought of championship manager in Chris Hughton. Jordan, you've got them in ninth, which, no, you don't. You've got them in 10th. Alex has them in 9th. Yeah, I mean, I see Alex has written Hughton has a great record in the championship. What else do they have that, like, make you confident that they'll be top 10 finishers?
So, I'm not super confident. I could see it working. I think they've got some exciting players that if Hughton can trust to get out there, then I think they could be very good. You know, Brennan Johnson looked very, very, very good last year in League One. So I'm excited to see him play lots of football. You know, I've not seen a ton of him, but Forest fans seem very, very enamoured with Mighton as well. You know, you've got two guys, you know, who, if they get running, start playing well, will probably quite soon look too good for the championship. So I think I'm not as hot on them as sort of some, you know, predictions I've seen. I've had them very, very high. You know, I think they've got a very good defense. They've got, like, good center backs. I think the midfield is a bit okay, not amazing. And I think there's got to be question marks about the strikers. We've seen grab and net goals. We've seen Lyle Taylor look good for the championship, but they both looked pretty poor last season, it seemed. So maybe there's more business to do, but the wingers excite me for sure.
I think poor is an understatement on those two for last season, let's be honest. Forest only scored 35 goals last season. They've only got 3 strikers, in inverted commas. I'm sure they've got other players who will play kind of forward areas, but 3 strikers who can score goals, and they're all the wrong side of 30. Like, they're going to have to. I think if Forest have any ambition to finish in the playoffs or higher, they're going to have to try and sign a striker. However good Graben has a record, I don't think that those 3 are going to be the players who are. I think they've got Taylor, Graben, and Da Costa, and those 3 are just not going to get you high enough in the table.
Yeah, especially after losing Amiobi as well, and, like, some other, not necessarily key players, but, like, it seems like they had a bit of a Reading situation going on with an absolutely huge squad, and seems like they're starting to rectify that. Next couple will be interesting. Barnsley are next. They're actually level with Forest in our table. So they've lost DK. They've lost Ishmael. Again, lots of question marks over them. Feels like it could go either way.
Yeah, you have them 8th, Matt.
I do have them 8th. And I don't know why. No. So I think a lot of these predictions for me says more about the kind of overall quality of the championship this season than maybe other teams. So I've actually got a quote from Marcus Schopp's Wikipedia page. Wikipedia page, which is, during his time as a manager at Sturm Graz and Hartberg, he built a reputation as a developer of young emerging talent, which is, I assume, exactly why Barnsley have picked him up. They've brought in Ulere for the DK replacement, who, Alex, I know you don't like, but he is tall and strong and will probably do a similar job. But
I mean,
I'm
tall, but I couldn't play up front for Barnsley. I don't even think it's a particularly ringing endorsement of him.
No, but I mean, he does come out okay on metrics, although he hasn't played a massive amount of football, so it's hard to properly judge. One of the things I think will harm Barnsley and might harm Ismail at West Brom is that we've gone back to having three subs this season, and Barnsley hugely capitalised on using five. So it might just drop them down that little bit. But they have a team that are clearly, you know, quite together. They know what they're doing, and they seem to be taking steps forward almost every season. So that's why I've got them in eighth. I think they'll probably fall short of the playoffs, but I see them better than the bottom half. Definitely. Like, I think they'll probably comfortably be top half this year. But, you know, this is why I don't like making predictions, because they'll probably finish 20th. And then after that is Swansea, who are another team in crisis. I don't think that's too strong a word. Sounds like they might have a manager for next week now. So that will do them well. We've all got them to finish in the bottom half now. Jordan, you've got them to finish lowest, so I'd like you to talk them through that.
Sure. I think the news about Russell Martin, I assume that's close to being done, I think is good. I don't think it's enough to turn around their season to anything particularly high finish. I think we saw it at MK Dons that, you know, on the face of it, he looks a really exciting manager, but it takes a little while to get it going. So I think we'll see them win lots of fans and plaudits, but maybe not that many points this year. I think the squad is an issue there as well. I think at MK, he was given pretty, I don't know about the expenses, but he was given the opportunity to turn over quite a lot of the squad and get in the sort of players that he wants. Now, I don't know that he's going to have the opportunity to do that at Swansea. Their squad has been getting chipped away at for years, which obviously put a lot of tension with the last manager. There's a lot of that team that I think there's some good players to work with in that team, but as a squad, it doesn't overly convince me. I think goals have got to be a massive concern. But yeah, I don't know that I see them getting all the way relegated, particularly with Martin there. And I'm sure they will get some business done. But I think it's a big ask to put them anywhere near the top half at the moment.
I mean, last season they were just Loans FC, weren't they? That's kind of their issue. Their squad last year was built on loans into the first 11 and Jordan Ayew and Andre Ayew, and that was it. Apart from that, they have no actual players of their own, really. I think Connor Roberts is probably the only player I could name of the Swansea squad who I think would be a transfer target for anybody in, say, the top six.
Well, Grimes apparently is off.
And Grimes, yes. And but I kind of assumed Grimes had already gone. So
yeah. I mean, that worries you that, like, club captain, I think he is, and obviously so instrumental in how they want to play, and I assume would be a player that Martin would love to have. So, yeah, a bit worrying.
Jordan Ayew is still playing on your mind there, Alex, after destroying our left backs yesterday. Let's not go into that either. Right, next up is Birmingham. Lee Bowyer was another that benefited from Reading gifting points. And after that, they actually looked fairly decent. It just, like, they brought in a few young loans from United and I think a couple from Wolves. It's a question of whether they can kick on, I guess, Jordan.
Yeah, I think Bowen's got to be a big positive. I think whatever you think about him as a person, I think he's done quite well It's Charlton team, were obviously very, very difficult to play against. I like Ryan Woods. You know, that's a player that I would have loved to have had at Reading over the last, I don't know, 5-6 seasons or whatever. I think he's a very good player. So I think that's a good pickup. I like Sanderson. I think the wingers are interesting. You know, I had a chat with a Birmingham fan on Twitter about them. So I like Tyth Chong basically hasn't done anything in senior football, but was fairly highly rated at United. And Jordan Graham is another one who, very good season last year, but is like a name that's been floating around for a while as like one of these guys who's like big, big potential and just hasn't quite happened for him yet. So I think they're one of the ones that are quite hard to place because there's some bones of a fairly good team there. And if some of the signings are better than maybe we even think they are right now, which wouldn't be a huge surprise, then suddenly they could be looking quite high. But until we know more, I think I'd struggle to put them much, much higher.
Yeah, and I mean, if that manager is a positive, next we've got Blackburn, who seem to have a very good squad. Okay, like Adam Armstrong might not be there, but Alex, it sounds to me like Tony Mowbray is the one dragging them down.
I think Blackburn fans are kind of a little bit fed up of Tony Mowbray now, which I think from the outside may be a little bit surprising, given that they've maybe been dealt a bad hand over the last few years in terms of injuries. And Bradley Dack coming back fully fit this season, as opposed to last season when I think he only played about 10 games, should help them. If Armstrong leaves, though, I think they'll struggle to replace him with anywhere near the same kind of quality. Obviously, they haven't made any signings yet either. Similar to us, they're not going to improve, are they? I just don't see how they're going to improve if nothing's really changing there. The fans don't really want Mowbray around at least it's very split opinion there, and I can just see their season kind of being very stale and very dull.
Yeah, I mean, especially without Harvey Elliott as well. He's gone back. But now they have Brereton Diaz, who is a totally new player, not Ben Brereton, different person.
It's literally like signing a new player.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun, isn't it? It is fun. Have you seen the Pepsi advert with him?
Brilliant.
Not yet.
Oh, it's great.
You should watch that. It is great. Blackburn and then Hull. So you two have Hull above Blackburn. I've got them almost relegated. Someone that has actually watched Hull should probably talk about them rather than me. Jordan, go for it.
So I think trying to put a level on the promoted teams is really tough. You know, I think as standard, maybe the bookies and obviously some people making these predictions will have them in the bottom three as their like default and then work from there. I think in my mind, like, Hull shouldn't have been relegated two seasons ago when they did. It was, I think actually, like, in my mind, I'm not a Hull fan, obviously, but like in my mind, it was a decent gamble what they went for that just went horribly wrong. Like, they knew that they weren't going to go up. It didn't look like they were going to go down. So they went, all right, well, we'll just cash in. We'll see it through the season and then we'll build. And it just went so wrong. So in my mind, they were never really, they were like a solid, decent championship team that got relegated out of nowhere in my mind. And then went down, just did things very, very professionally to get back up again. So in my mind, when I was looking at these, I wasn't really viewing them as a League One team coming up. I was viewing them as, you know, a championship team that just took a sabbatical or whatever. So I like the signings. I think there's an element of getting carried away by how well they did last year. We've seen, you know, Barnsley when they first came up, Wigan when they came up, having dominated League One and then struggled a bit. So I didn't really want to put them too much higher, but yeah, I just don't really put them in the same bracket as the other two promoted teams that I quite like, but Hull just seem way more put together at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, other than the fact that behind the scenes they messed up signing players, which is quite funny. I'm not sure how that will affect them because their team does seem okay. Like Malik Wilkes is obviously quite a good player. They had the best defensive record in League One. So, yeah, I mean, We'll see. If you haven't heard the story about Hull City, they're basically in the same position as Reading, but they signed too many players and then tried to loan some out, but those loan players still count against their cap. So, yeah, they're kind of in a bit of a mess. Next, we actually do have Reading. We're not going to talk about them here because Paul's going to talk about them with Jonathan Lowe in a podcast sometime this week, unless there's anything you wanted to say, Alex, about them.
I mean, I think it's more just we've got them in 17th. We've seen people talking that, you know, there's a potential that Reading will get relegated this season. I think where we've placed them is fairly fair. I don't think there's going to be too much arguments around us being in and around that kind of like lower, you know, bottom eight end of the table at the moment this season, just given the squad depth.
Yeah, I mean, and it's similar to last season. Get a few injuries and things could go pretty badly. Keep the first 11 fit and things could go fairly well. I mean, I don't want to talk about Reading, so we're just going to skip over them. Coventry next. Alex has written one of the dullest sides in the league, so I'm not going to ask Alex about them. I'm going to ask Jordan.
I mean, but just before that, one of the dullest sides in the league, because every single prediction 1-24 I've seen so far for the championship has Coventry finish either 17th or 18th, because everybody knows exactly what you're going to get with Coventry, it seems.
Okay, well, is that done? Shall we just move on to Peterborough then?
One thing I'll say about Coventry is I think, and maybe people aren't falling into this trap if they're all putting them 17th and 18th, but I think they've done some really good business in terms of picking up some former loanees and stuff. But I think a few seasons ago, Bristol City did that. You know, they brought in like Jay De Silva and they brought in, I think it was maybe Callas and stuff like that. They brought in all these former loanees, spent a fair bit of cash to do it, and everybody was very, very excited. Now, I think those were good signings. That's good business. But those aren't signings that necessarily will see you kick on, right? So if you're bringing in all these guys who did great last year, but you only finished where you did, great that you picked them back up again on, you know, permanent deals and stuff. It's great squad building for the future. But those aren't the deals that are going to push you into the top half. So I think they'll be fine. I'm really excited by Enabakare coming back from India or something like that after impressing on loan. That was always like a FM signing I was desperate to get because he was like League One and had like 18 dribbling or something. So I'm very excited to see how he gets on. But I just can't necessarily, I don't know what kicks them on to the next level. I certainly haven't seen it in the signings.
I was just about to say he helped my Luton Town side get promoted on FM. So
well, okay.
Yeah, he's great for me. Peterborough next. So they're 19th. In our table, I've got them to finish in the bottom three just because I think like their style of play, I don't know if this is more me listening to what people have said about Peterborough and it's quite an attacking style. They were very good at home last season. And I just don't know how well that will translate to a league where most teams are better than them. You both have them in 19th, so to finish safe. Alex, why won't they be relegated?
I mean, if we just look at last season, they were the top scorers in League One. And I just think that with Darren Ferguson there, their whole attitude is basically we're going to go and score more goals than you.
And but against, will that work in the Championship?
Well, against teams lower down in the league, I think it will. And it will pick them up enough results against teams higher up in the league when they can push on in 18 games against teams who should be better than them. And pick up a point here and there against them. I don't necessarily think that they're going to be able to, if they play that way all season, they will end up getting beaten very comfortably by some of the better teams as well. But against the teams lower down in the division, I think they'll just pick up a lot of wins because the other teams just aren't going to be able to keep up with their rate of scoring. It wouldn't surprise me if they end up with like a negative goal difference, even though they score 60 goals or something.
Cool. Well, it sounds like a fun time. I'll be watching Peterborough matches.
The one player I'm looking out for is going to be Clark Harris. He was rumoured to come to Reading 2 seasons ago, just before he signed for Peterborough, basically. And it's going to be interesting to see how he does in the Championship and whether he can make the step up from being a top-end League One player into a fully-fledged Championship striker.
Yeah, sounds nice. It's always nice to see players that Reading have not signed doing really well. He'll probably score a few goals against us, won't he? It's fine. So two sides joint on our average, because a three-person average does this. 20th and 21st. Bristol City, so they do have Nigel Pearson, who would feel like a net plus, although he has signed Matty James and Andy King. He's just bringing in less of the players that he knew. They had the worst XG numbers in the league last season, both for going forwards and going back. They're not in a good place. Is Bristol City one of the teams that might get relegated, Jordan, even if we've got them slightly outside of that?
100%, I can definitely see it. I think the last year was really interesting because obviously they brought in Pearson. Certainly in my eyes, they were like really bad. And Pearson was like chucking a lot of players under the bus and just making it very clear they didn't fancy them. And for whatever reason, and it seemed like the fans were in the same opinion, the club and the fans really threw their weight behind Pearson and was like, yeah, no, it is the player's fault. And I think it's interesting. He's got to hit the ground running, because that won't last another transfer window, surely.
I think doing that, if you come in at the end of a season and you come in and say, it's the player's fault, it's not me, it's the players, it's all well and good doing that. But unless you're going to have a really busy window where you can ship out 15 players and bring in 12 new players, then you're just left with the same players who inevitably probably now don't like you.
I always thought Johnson had them punching anyway and was turning like decent players, good players into like guys who are kicking out a really good output and stuff. And I don't know that Pearson can do that. And once that sort of, that side of it falls away, you start to look at the squad in a different light. And I just don't know that there's a huge amount of quality there. There have individuals that are good, but, you know, when you're used to seeing, you know, Johnson getting that team overperforming and thinking about players in a certain way, and then the sort of the shine comes away and you go, well, actually, how good is, you know, Vyman or whatever? I don't know if he's still there, but you know what I mean? Like, the squad doesn't quite look as good as I maybe thought it did look when Johnson was there and they were playing quite well.
Yeah. I mean, I think two of the standout players for me are Jeju and Patterson, and they've both left. And like Mariappa, who, okay, he isn't the same player as he was. He's gone. Like, yeah, there's been some outgoings, but as Alex says, not too many incomings to kind of offset that. Another team who are in quite a similar position where, just what are they going to do this season? Huddersfield, I've got them to finish 19th. You both have them to finish 21st. Like, they've brought in Matty Pearson and Jordan Rhodes for some reason. None of them really fit the style that he'll be playing. But then again, like, they have some good players there. Like, Josh Caroma's quite good. Like, Mbenza seems all right. Sinani on loan from Norwich could be fun. I just don't get those signings with, you know, Pearson and Rhodes, who both feel like you're going to be playing a certain type of way. Alex, how do you feel about Huddersfield? Same question, really. Like, they're another one that we could see in the bottom three, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think the quality just isn't there in that squad. And as you said, the transfers that they have brought in just don't really make a lot of sense. I mean, for me, a lot of it comes down to, you've got Corbrand there who's going into his second season, and I still don't really know, is he actually any good, or did he just get a job off the back of working with Bielsa?
We'll find out, I guess, won't we? He always wears very nice clothes on the touchline that makes Tim Deller go mad. So he's not Struber levels, though, to be fair. So yeah, I mean, it's tough to kind of properly critique them, because there are those managers that might take a season to bed in, and especially when he's virtually a new manager. He is a new manager, right? This is his first
job, like, yep.
First senior job. And maybe now he will, you know, will see improvement. And I think that's all that Huddersfield can ask for this season, is just to not finish as low as they did last year, and even that might be beyond them. Yeah, that doesn't sound very positive, does it? Huddersfield fans might have a completely different opinion. I don't know. So we come on to our bottom three, who are the three teams left. Preston North End, Blackpool, and absolutely no surprise where Derby's finishing. Preston are 22nd. Izzy Brown's already injured, which is, I mean,
sad.
Kind of, it is sad. You kind of get what you ask for when you sign Izzy Brown, it feels like it. Frankie McAvoy did actually have quite a good end to the campaign last year. He won 5 out of 8 games or something. I think the question is he going to be Mark Bonner or is he going to be Mark Bowen? Which way is it going to go, Alex? I mean, you've got them to be relegated, well, so presumably you think he's going to be Mark Bowen.
If he's Mark Bowen, he's not lasting the season anyway, is he? So, yeah, I think I've got them to finish 22nd. And I just think everything there is, it feels... to be honest, it feels very similar to what I discussed about Blackburn. It's very stale. And they have a lot of contract issues coming up as well. It's something stupid, like 2/3 of their squad are out of contract in next summer. Barkhuizen is out next summer. Their goalkeeper, Ripley's out. Sinclair's out next summer. Patrick Bauer's out next summer. So many of their players are out of contract next summer. And it just, if they don't, you know, if they're in and around that relegation zone, it's just so easy to see them just kind of give up, I think.
They could start playing for moves, though, right? Like, well, they could have this amazing season where all of them are trying to get to go somewhere.
No, I agree, they could. But under a rookie manager, well, not rookie manager, sorry, but it's just, you know, I just don't see, he's had, what, 10 games at the end of last season, 15 games with Preston, I don't know. I just don't see it. I think that the fans are very fed up. There's definitely like an air of discontent at Preston. And I think if they go down, they're not coming back up anytime quickly.
What I'd say about the squad just quickly as well is that, like, I think the way Preston have done a lot of their business over the last few years is what makes me slightly cautious with some of my picks around like Luton and stuff like that. Like, I think the way that they approach transfers is really, it's understandable given their budget for a start. And I also think it's like commendable that obviously they do a lot of their business looking at League One and League Two players, trying to get them to step up. What I think you're then left with at the moment, though, is quite a lot of players who have come through that route and either haven't played enough to show what they can do or haven't quite kicked on in the same way where you go, okay, yeah, they came from League Two, they came from League One, and now they're a top championship player rather than what I think what they seem to have, which is just a lot of just like average, decent championship players. So I think that's the worry. You see these guys come in with like a lot of promise, and you know that you've got to give them time to develop. And, you know, after a couple of years at Preston, and like you say, it has got a bit stale. You know, maybe these guys aren't future Premier League players. Maybe they're just decent championship players. You know, I don't look at the squad and think, yeah, no, there's a lot of stuff there that really excites me or a lot of standout players. So, you know, that has bled into a lot of my thinking with maybe pouring a bit of cold water on something like the Luton signings.
Yeah, I mean, you both have them 22nd. I have them 18th, which now sounds very positive for them, but I'm sure it, well, who knows, that's the problem with doing predictions, isn't it? Nobody does. And then we've all got the same 23rd and all got the same 24th. Blackpool in 23rd. I personally just don't see where the goals are coming from them. They've signed Shane Lavery from somewhere in Northern Ireland.
Linfield,
sorry, I forgot to note that down. They've got John Jules, a youngster on loan from Arsenal. They're very dependent on having Jerry Yates have the same kind of season he had last year, it feels like. It would be nice for them because, like, Stuart Moore and Teddy Howe, both ex-Reading players, are in the squad, but probably won't play.
Even Jerry Yates' season last season wasn't that fantastic, was it? I think he scored 14 goals.
Was it? A lot of pens. Yeah, pens.
Yeah, I just remember it was quite a high proportion of penalties. I don't think he's going to be quite the same. I don't think he's got quite the same potential as say, Clark Harris at Peterborough to step up and score a similar amount of goals in the Championship.
Jerry,
and they signed Richard Keogh.
Yeah, I don't even want to talk about Richard Keogh. I don't understand how he's at this level again. But he scored 14 non-penalty goals and another 6 penalties, Jerry Yates. So, I mean, that's a fairly decent return, to be fair.
I really liked them last season. I was super, super impressed with them. I think Critchley looks a really good manager. I think the way they approach stuff's really interesting. You know, changing formation, a lot of players changing positions. But what I think I'd go back to is what I said about Hull, which is, you know, we've seen teams come up and really blow League One away, which is kind of what they did for a lot of last season, even though they didn't win it. And then they step up and you have a lot of expectations for them to just crack on. And yes, the league's weak this season, but sometimes it's a big shock to come up. So I think it's a big ask for them to transition it. Yeah,
it's Sheffield United, but at the other end of the table, in my view, they're a squad full of very good League One players, but probably not able to make a step up. It's similar to Sheffield United if they were in the Premier League, full of excellent Championship players, but maybe not Premier League players.
Yeah,
I think if they can sneak themselves out of relegation coming into this season, then I think wouldn't be surprised to see them do. It's a different structure to Barnsley, but do something like Barnsley have done, Blackburn have done, Wigan were doing in terms of get that first season, just get through the door. And then push on. But I also wouldn't be surprised to see them end up a bit of a yo-yo club in the same way that those clubs did.
Yeah, I mean, as we've kind of been saying, like there is some leeway in these predictions. Like there are a few that we could definitely see going down that we haven't necessarily put them. I'd be gutted if I was at Elliot Embleton, like get Blackpool promoted and then have to go back to Sunderland. But that's
yeah.
I don't think we have to spend long on Derby. Their problems are well documented. They're bottom. Is there a scenario, Alex, where they don't finish bottom?
I don't think so. Not a realistic one anyway. Administration wouldn't be a surprise. Points deduction wouldn't be a surprise. Think they could probably go through 3 managers this season. That wouldn't be a surprise.
How many minutes is Rooney going to play? That's the real question.
I was wondering the same.
Probably at 90, and before he realises he doesn't really want to be there. I think we're going to see a season very similar to Ipswich when they got relegated a few years ago, and you could just tell that they were not of the required quality to be in the division. I think they'll finish on less than 30 points.
It needs a sale, right? Like it needs, you could see, I think, honestly, best case scenario I can see is that they have a really bad season, but new ownership comes in. They're able to do something in January and they maybe finish the season looking a bit stronger. But I just don't see them even in that scenario, given how small and weak the squad is right now. I don't see anything other than relegation. I think the only hope is that they go into League One with a bit of form or something like that.
One thing that will happen this season, though, is if Aluko or Baldock do sign there, we will be guaranteed that they will score in a couple of months' time. So,
well, you know, I wouldn't begrudge them. They've had a tough time. Anyway, that is our 1-24. So Fulham, Bournemouth automatically promoted, Sheffield United, West Brom, Middlesbrough and Luton to finish in the playoffs. Reading 17th, maybe optimistic. Preston North End, Blackpool and Derby to be relegated. I think one thing, when talking about Reading, you have to take into account how bad some of the other teams are, which I think some people aren't doing. It would be great. We'll put a tweet up of our table. It would be great if you could tweet us and tell us who you think are going to get promoted, relegated, and where you think Reading are going to finish.
And blasters for any of the ones you think are terrible. Which is inevitably is going to happen. So,
it inevitably will. And please don't remember this when it's all completely different in 6 months' time. Well, Thank you very much, Alex, for joining us. Thank you very much, Jordan.
Cheers.
And here's to a good season.